So decorating is a big deal, and I am so excited because today I get to talk about decorations. And in our house, I feel kind of bad because I grew up with my mom, who my mom and dad, and my dad was a kid of, his parents had a gift shop like Hallmark, and so they were always decorating for everything. And then my mom was perfect for my dad because she decorates for everything, and she's that mom that has like the tubs in the basement that all match colors like to the seasons, and you know what season it is when you go into my mom's house, like, oh, it's Thanksgiving. Oh, it's Halloween. And I always thought that was exactly the kind of mom that I would be. But we live in a townhouse, and so that doesn't quite work. It just, you get three giant teenagers, and then you put a tree in your living room, and it's like there's just nowhere to move. And so it's kind of claustrophobic. So this year, my husband was awesome, and this is our house. That's him. It's a great picture, right? And then this is what we decorated. Yay! So he did. I was so excited. He did that for me. I'm done. Just kidding. We're not done, but I was really happy that he did it without me having to ask. So today I get to talk about the first topic in our series called Christmas Then and Now. And we are going to talk about things that really we're very familiar with that we do every year, but how they started and why. And so we really want to bring it all back to Jesus. And I'm really looking forward to it because I get to share about the decorations. And this is the Woods house. So it's a little different than our green lights outside. I mean, that is decorated. What I love most about this picture, too, is that these pictures is that Stacy was like, oh, we also put trees and lights in our rooms, and I didn't take pictures of that. So just imagine that it goes through the whole house. And everyone decorates in a different way. But there are things that are common that we should really refocus on Jesus. And I also just want us to be thankful for the, so the ultimate goal this morning is that we would look around at this season and just see it differently and remember what Jesus did for us and be thankful. I don't want us to stop being thankful just because Christmas came and Thanksgiving is over. So let's pray, and then I have some fun things to share. All right, Jesus, we just come before you this morning, and we thank you so much that this is your season, that this is the time that we get to just anticipate your coming and your coming again. And we ask, Lord, that this morning you would teach us just something new about how to see you in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I love learning about the traditions of other countries, and I taught German and I lived in Europe, and so I love the differences between everything. And I am excited to talk about the things that really do relate to Jesus, but it turns out that not all of our traditions and all of our decorations are rooted in the Christmas story. And so it was impossible. I want to talk to you about this so much. But there are a few of my favorites that I found that were so random. Most of the decorations that we have just start out because of an accident or just something, someone did something and it stuck. So one example is the Night of the Radishes. So these are in Oaxaca, Mexico. They started in the 1700s. They used to sell wooden carvings, and a farmer got jealous, and he was like, well, I have vegetables, so he started carving vegetables. And now every December 23rd, they sell and make these radish sculptures. Look at the next one. I mean, that's a dragon. It's insane. Okay, but awesome. And they've been doing that for hundreds of years. Nothing to do with Jesus. And then the other one I loved is called, let me see if I can get this right, the Gävleblocken in Sweden. And this is a giant goat made of straw that a farmer builds every year. And when he started doing it in the 1600s, 400 years ago, he built it to bring community together. And in the night, somebody lit it on fire. And no one ever found out why. And he did it the next year, and they lit it on fire. And they've been building it and lighting it on fire for 400 years. Why? No idea. It has nothing to do with Christmas. And then my favorite is the Hide the Pickle game. Hide the pickle in the Christmas tree is the most random thing on earth. And what's funny about it is no one knows who started it. No one knows who started it. It has no point except if you find the pickle, you win. and it used to be a real pickle. The Germans are mad because we think they did it, and they're like, there's no way we would ever have invented that. It's definitely American. And the ornament companies got involved, and you can buy super elaborate pickles to put on your tree. And it is so weird. But these have nothing to do with Jesus, but there are things that do. And I want us to remember those today. So we're going to start with the quintessential decoration. If you have a Christmas tree in your house, this has the most prominent spot, and it's the tree topper. So in our family, we're a star family. And so now I owe my kids some money because I put them in the sermon. And so there's the star and the angel are the most popular ones, except for my friend Jessica, who she and her family like to put like a brewer hat, a packer hat, a brewer hat, a packer hat every year on the top of their tree. So people do things differently all over the place. But star and angel are the most common. So the star, I think, is incredibly special. We all know the story of the nativity, right? So normally you see it just like this. There's the barn, there's the family, there's the kings, and there's the shepherds all at once. And there's sometimes a star at the top. And here's the true story. When Jesus was born, the star appeared in the sky. And it stayed there. And some guys who were not kings, the wise men, the magi, which is actually another word for astrologer, they were scientists. And they saw the star in the sky. And they started to follow it. Meanwhile, Jesus is born. The angels freak out the shepherds. And the shepherds go running to see him. So the shepherds are there in the stable, but not the kings and not the wise men yet. Because they had to take their time, study the star. This star had nowhere, it was not supposed to be there. It just appeared. And it's never been there again. And it actually moved because I'm sure Mary and Joseph were very excited to get out of the stable, right? So they went to a house eventually, and Jesus started growing up. Meanwhile, there, here come the astrologers, the magi. They had to go through the king. They had to deal with a whole bunch of stuff. And so let's read their story, because I think it's pretty important. But let me find it here. Ooh. So let's put it up here, and we're going to read their story. So this is from Matthew. And it says this: after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And then a bunch of stuff happens with the king. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. No longer a baby, he was a child. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. So, the star pointed to Jesus. But also, what was cool about it is that they had to look for it. They had to study it. God spoke to the wise men, to these scientists, the way they would hear, the way they would see him. And he told the shepherds, he gave the angels to the shepherds. We'll read that in a minute. He just uses what he can to get through to us. And if we seek him, we will find him. And it is really hard for me to talk about this without using all the cliches that you've seen on those wooden things and like the home stores, like Jesus is the reason for the season and wise men still seek him. Unfortunately, sometimes cliches just work the best. And so what we should be learning from the star is that it is pointing us to Jesus, and that if we search for him, we will find him. And I just think when we put that star up, it means so much more than just, okay, now the tree's done. And so the other choice is an angel. So the woods are an angel house, I noticed. So this is their house, and they have an angel. And angels are also incredibly important to the story, which I think is amazing. Without the angels, if you really think about it, what would Mary have done if an angel hadn't come to her and told her she was going to have a baby? She's a virgin, and suddenly she's pregnant and has a kid that she doesn't know is Jesus. And so that angel changes the whole trajectory of the story. Also, Joseph did not want any part of this. he was like, I'm going to divorce her quietly because I really am a nice, he was seems like a really nice guy, and he didn't want to make her ashamed. And an angel came to him in the night in a dream and told him, no, Joseph, this is what you're supposed to do. Take care of Mary. You're the father of God. And so without the angels, they wouldn't know anything. And the word angel actually means that, wait a second, I have it here. Oh, here it is. I'm trying something new so I don't drop everything this week. Okay. I want to get what it's right. So the angel actually means attendant, agent, or messenger of God. And so an angel actually speaks for God. And so having an angel on top of your tree means that there was a reminder for us that God was speaking, that God did amazing things. So the cool thing about angels, too, is that we have decided in this culture that angels are these beautiful, ethereal, mostly blonde, I noticed, gorgeous women with wings. Well, that's not true. If you actually read in the Bible what angels look like, except for Gabriel, there sometimes they show up and they're in the appearance of man, so they don't scare you. So like Gabriel that came to Mary, I don't think he looked like this. But this is what I'm thinking the angels looked like when they were talking to the shepherds. That. It's all feathers and eyes and terrifying. So every time you see them say, don't be afraid, it's because they look like this. So what I was thinking is, why don't we put this? This is a post of a friend of mine who actually made this to put on his tree. I think we should just put this on our tree from now on. And I was thinking that it would be amazing if we had Christy do it. Like, Christy would make the most of it. I wish she was here because I was going to commission her. So next year I would put this angel on my tree. And so I just, yikes. But now you know why they say don't be afraid. So here's the story of the angels. I just want to make sure that we hear the actual Bible passage. It goes like this. And there were shepherds in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, which I think maybe he also, this angel was probably not as scary. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified because it was pitch black, and it was them and the sheep. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host, yikes, those guys with the eyes and the wings, appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So the angels were there to remind us about peace. Jesus is our peace. So when you see that angel on a tree, it's not just a gorgeous woman with flowy blonde hair or brunette. It's a reminder that Jesus is our peace. So my challenge to you is that the next time you're in someone's house and you're like, wow, this house is so pretty, so decorative. Why did you choose the star? Why did you choose the angel? Now you're not going to answer like, oh, that's my grandmother's and she passed it down to me. Great. But you'll know the truth about what that means. And when you're thinking about that, let's be thankful. Jesus is our peace. Jesus tries to seek us out. He does whatever he can to get to us. So I have two more awesome decorations that I think we see all the time. So when Thanksgiving is over, suddenly we stop being brown, orange, yellow colors, and we go into the color scheme of Christmas, which is red and white. And that's the candy cane. We see it everywhere, right? So how did that even start? Well, now you're going to never see red and white again, the same way, I hope. So the candy cane started because there was this choir director in, I think it was 1897, and he had some kids that were in a choir, the boys in the choir, and they had to sit through this super long living nativity scene, and to get them to be quiet, because he knew about kids, he gave them candy. And so that's where the candy cane began. It was a white stick. But then years and years later, this Indiana guy from the Midwest, I'm sorry, that was a mistake, an Indiana candy maker wanted to make it more Christmassy. So he created the candy cane. So hold up your candy cane. Look, I know there's one on your table. So here's the thing about it. It starts white. Can you guess why? Probably for the virgin birth and for the cleanliness of Jesus, the purity of Jesus. And then it was a hard candy because that represents God is our solid rock and the firmness of his promises. And then he started out white. Now we do it like when they make it, they do it red and white together. But he actually added red coloring. And he started with three stripes. Three stripes for the gashes in Jesus when he was beaten, which is morbid but true. And the blood of Jesus is the red. And so then it's shaped like a shepherd's crook. And I thought, why wasn't it called a candy crook? But that sounds stupid. So, and then also flip it over. Eliana, if you flip it over, what letter does that make? You're right. And what is the name that starts with J? Yes! So every time, that is perfect. Every time you hold this way, you can remember that J is for Jesus. Now, here's the thing about that. I'm not going to tell you it's not cheesy. It's pretty cheesy. But in my life, my mom taught me this. If you talk to me for 20 minutes and I don't talk about Jesus, there's something wrong because I love Jesus. So just like I would talk about my husband or my kids, I talk about Jesus just in my conversation. And any time the word of Jesus, the name of Jesus is spoken, there's power. And any time we can get that out there, we want to hear the word of Jesus, the name of Jesus. And that's what Christmas is all about. So even if it's like, okay, Julie, this is technically an urban legend, you'll hear that. I like it. I think it's fun, and I think it's going to help us remember J is for Jesus. And that's what we're doing in our kids' ministry all week, all month. We're doing Alphabet Christmas. And a whole bunch of it is about J for Jesus. So you'll never get a candy cane from Santa again without looking at it in a different way. So, and then one more thing I want to say before we're done. And that is what I'm really excited about in all of my studies is that, yes, we have very different traditions, very different decorations. I read 20 interesting decorations from around the world and 30 wacky decorations, and in every list there was one thing we all share in common, and that's the nativity. In Latin cultures, it's actually really a big deal to make it as big and eye-catching and fun as possible. Now that's a little worldly because they want attention for like, look, we have this giant nativity. And honestly, yesterday I was driving around with my daughter and I was like, oh my gosh, look at this giant blow-up Jesus on the lawn. And she was like, Mom, don't judge. I was like, you're right. I'm talking about that tomorrow, that it doesn't matter how big and cheesy they might look. It's different in every culture. It matters to every culture. And there is Jesus on the lawn for everybody to see. Who cares if he's a blow-up doll? Who cares if it's plastic and glows in the dark? Jesus is right there. And he's everywhere. I think this one is the cutest. But I was so blessed to know that this is something that we all share because that is what Christmas is about. We created Santa in America. That's us. In Germany, they have their own. They have a guy that's called Krampus, and he runs around and he beats children with a stick who are bad. Jesus didn't come up with that. But in order for that to exist at all, we have to have Jesus. And there he is everywhere in everyone's home. My mom collects these. We call them her creches. And she has 35 from every year. And I am so proud of her, but I wanted to give her this one because she has to have one with the masks. This one cracked me up. I saw it on Amazon. I couldn't help but share it. So here's what I want us to do today. I want us to know that no matter what we see out there, let's be thankful that this season is happening at all. Jesus came to save us. And he couldn't do that without being born. And so even if this is inaccurate, it's adorable. And we can remember that Jesus came, that he gave us a star. He gave the star to the wise man, and he helps us to find him when we seek him. And we need to keep our bankful of thankful growing. We need to stay grateful, because I think it's exactly right that Thanksgiving and Christmas go right next to each other. What can we be more thankful for than Jesus? So we're going to take communion right now. And while we do, this is another thing that we just see all the time, especially at Hometown, because we do it every week. And we don't want it to get boring, but I want you to just hold it. I'm going to have Eugene come up and start playing. And I want us to just take a second and just remember why we're here, what Christmas is about, and to be thankful. So I'm going to pray, and you guys can get your communion out and just take a second. Lord, we thank you for being born, for this season, with all the glitter and all the stress that comes with it, Lord. We ask that we would see the star on our tree, that we would see the angels, we would see the candy canes, the red and white, and remember that you bled and died for us, and you want us to see you. You want us to find you. Father, we thank you so much that we get to have fun this season, but that J is for Jesus. And I just pray that you would remind us of that every single day this month. Just take a second and just thank Jesus for something today.